Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you tonight. A few of number, but may the Lord bless you, those that came out. Keep Sharon in prayer. She's got a touch of the flu, I think. The boys have got it now. She's got it. And I don't want it. God's good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I did this on Sunday night, what I'm doing here now. But you blanked. She refused to cooperate this machine on Sunday night with me. She fell out with me. But praise the Lord. She's on the night. Let's turn in our Bibles to Corinthians this evening. Let's turn first of all to Mark's Gospel. And this is something that everybody here knows, but I just want to share some thoughts again, and I want to just talk about tongues tonight. Why speak with tongues? And it's true what our brother John's often said, and I agree with it. Tongues must be about the most attacked gift out of all the nine gifts. It's attacked. And how many great preachers over the years that perhaps most of us have listened to, and they do a message all about tongues and they attack it and they say bad things about it, and yet they're great men of God preaching the gospel and everything, but they attack the tongues, and then they change the Bible and they tell us that tongues is not for the day and prophets is not for the day and we're not in that dispensation no more, we're in a different dispensation. And I don't believe that. I believe it's still for today. Let's read Mark 16, verse 17. And this is the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So the first thing you're reading in this verse is signs. These are signs. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs. And I'm not preaching on tonight, but I could say tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. And Paul tells us that. But I'm not getting into that tonight, but it is a sign to the unbeliever. God can reveal the secrets of the heart through tongues and interpretation. And it's a sign. And here the Lord says himself, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly, reverently bow before you tonight. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you tonight. We thank you that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, and we can come boldly. And Lord, we do come to you tonight pleading the merits of your precious blood. And Lord, I pray that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb and will be whiter than the snow. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us, Lord, and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. I take the Holy Ghost right now to help me right now. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I pray you'll sanctify this very room with your presence here tonight. And Lord, you see the hands raised in this room tonight. Lord, I pray for every individual hand raised, for every individual need, that you will meet every need. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all the sisters at home tonight that maybe couldn't come or had to work, Lord. We just pray you'll bless them, strengthen them, and the brothers as well. And Lord, for the backsliders tonight, restore them, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help us from your word tonight. This, your word is the truth, it's a light. And Lord, your word says it's a lamp under our feet, a light under our feet, and a lamp under our feet, and a light on their path, Lord, and we believe it tonight. Now, Lord, I pray you'll inspire us from the scriptures. And Father, we do pray also again for Sister Eiling, Lord, that you'll touch her, you'll bless her, you'll heal her, and strengthen her, and your spirit will come upon her. And Lord, we just ask for your spirit amongst us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why speak with tongues? And first thing we see, the words of the Lord Jesus, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So the first thing you see, this is only for believers. Anybody that's not a believer, this is not for them, but it's for believers, real believers. Now, when you look what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to be mentioning a few things, Corinthians, and I'm not going to be long tonight. It's just a few thoughts. I know we know these things, but it'll do us good to hear them again. I would that ye all speak with tongues. So Paul starts this verse out, and I know a lot of people goes on to show you a more excellent way. That's true. All them things are true. But I'm talking about tongues tonight. That's what I'm talking about. And Paul says, I would that ye all speak with tongues. So some people say, it might be God's will for me to speak with tongues. That's a lie. Because if it wasn't God's will for you to speak with tongues, Paul would say, not everybody will speak with tongues. But Paul never says that. Paul says, I would that ye all speak with tongues. But rather ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret it. So tongues interpreted is as strong as prophesying. It's equal to prophesying when it's interpreted. Amen. That the church may receive edifying. So when you have tongues and an interpretation of tongues, it edifies you. Praise God. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now, I believe Paul was a tongue-talking man. He spoke with tongues. And I don't believe Paul just used tongues when he was preaching or in a church. I believe Paul prayed in tongues when he was alone, when he was out. I believe that he prayed a lot in tongues, and he says it himself. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Smith's Wigglesworth, they say that a man that stayed with him heard quite a commotion in his bedroom early in the morning, and it got the better of him, and he slipped in, and Wigglesworth was out of bed, dancing around the floor, talking in tongues. And they say he spent a long time every morning talking in tongues. And then you have John G. Lake. John D. Lake said, not only is tongues important, but he said, when God gave me the gift, John D. Lake said, when God gave me the gift of speaking in tongues, it revolutionized my experience with God. And he says, many times in private, I would pray in tongues. And the Holy Spirit, he would also pray for the interpretation. And the Holy Spirit would give him the interpretation. And he would preach it in the pulpit that evening, and people would get saved and healed. So God supernaturally, he had the tongues and he had the interpretation by the power of God supernaturally. That's the work of God. Now we can all agree there has been much misunderstanding on speaking in tongues. We can all certainly agree with that. Which in a lot of cases, it's done much harm. And the sad reality is tonight, 90% of the denominations have no tongues. They don't believe in tongues. If you speak in tongues in some of their ranks, you'll be thrown out or asked to leave. They just don't believe in it, that it's for the day. But an even sadder thing is this end time movement. The end time message movement also has reached a stage where they have come to a perfection. That's what they claim. And they no longer need tongues or the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but many of them believe that they don't need it. But I've been accused of being a Pentecostal, so I'll just stick with that. I'm happy enough to have that accusation again, man. I am a Pentecostal. Proud of it. I'm apostolic. And I don't want to be apostolic with a name and a board. I want to be apostolic in the way that I believe what the disciples believed. And they spoke in tongues. And they believed in tongues. And I've spoken tongues. And I believe in tongues. And I know they're real. And many times, on different occasions, God's let me know things what never were spoken in English, but I knew it. And I heard it in English, but nobody spoke it in English, but I knew it in English. That's the power of God. And I believe tongues is real. And I'll tell you one thing. If somebody's speaking in real tongues and somebody talks against it, they're speaking against the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, that's a dangerous work, a dangerous act right there. Because all sin will be forgiven. But one word spoken against the Holy Spirit, my Bible says, will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. That's something, isn't it? That's a strong thing, isn't it? Praise God. Now, we know there's been much confusion with the tongues, which in a lot of cases has done a lot of harm, certainly because of false teaching. Many of God's children have been robbed of a wonderful gift to God, robbed of it because of false teaching. They've been robbed. And we don't want robbed tonight. Do you know who does the robbing? Here it is. The enemy cometh but to rob, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I'm come to give you life that more abundantly. Tongues will edify you. I'm going to prove it to you tonight. The tongues is a benefit. The best I can. I believe the Lord will help me. Amen. I personally believe we can operate tongues in church meetings. And also, I believe we can operate tongues privately, as well as church meetings and waiting on God. Amen. And you know, when people, the Spirit of God moves them and you get talking in tongues, it's maybe not necessarily a message for everybody. It could be the individual. They're praying in tongues. And we're going to see what it does for them in a wee minute. It does something for you. Praying in tongues. So it's good to have tongues. Praise God. Now let's set forth a few reasons for the practice of both the private prayer life for the tongues and otherwise as well. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So somebody says, well, there's no benefit then. He's only edifying himself. Well, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I want to be edified. There's a lot of times David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And if you have the gift of tongues, God has given you the gift of tongues, for you to pray in them, for you to use them, that you'll be edified. That's why God's given you them. And then if it's a message and it's interpreted, it'll edify others as well. Now, of all the nine gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, speaking with tongues, is the only one spoken of as being edifying the person who exercises the gift. So the other gifts edify other people, we know that. But tongues edifies the individual that has that gift of tongues. It edifies that individual. And the Bible's clear in that. To edify means to build up. Listen to what it says. It means to build up, to encourage, an encouragement, edification, spiritual profit or advancement. Now, something that will spiritually profit you and advance you is not something that God took out of the church. The devil might have, some of his disciples might have, but God certainly didn't. And Paul says, forbid not to speak with tongues. So Paul is saying, don't stop the tongues. Now, we know, and I'll come to it later, that there are a lot of tongues back in Paul's time, and he had to set it in order. But we don't have that problem today. I've never been around any end time groups, never, where they had the problem. I've said here, boy, we've had three gifts of tongues now, interpretations. We don't need number four. Never had the problem, because it never hardly happens. There's only a few places where I've heard tongues and interpretation in all the years I've been traveling around. That's in Africa, you'll get it in Africa. And I tell you, we want to thank the Lord when it happens. It's the Spirit of God. And I tell you, we certainly need edified. Who wants edified tonight? We all want edified. We all want build it up. It's talking about building us up, to charge, to renew. So you think of the old battery. You know, I like watching on YouTube. I've watched a fella recently, he's an American fella. And he'll go and he'll get an old tractor somewhere and trees grown out of her nearly. And the whole thing is to see if he can start her. And he ticks the batteries. He always ticks the batteries. And he went to this big tractor, I can't remember the name of it, but she was a big machine. She had twin wheels all around her. And he went and he took about three or four batteries. She held a couple of them herself. And he got the batteries in there and he makes sure before he ticks these batteries they're well charged. They're full of power. And I tell you, when you talk in tongues, the Bible's saying you're going to be charged. Full of power. Amen. Now, how could that not be a bad thing? That's the very thing the devil wants rid of. That's why he has people inspired to preach again tongues and to teach again tongues, and that he doesn't want nobody operating tongues because he doesn't want God's people charged, edified, built up in the most holy faith. Not the flat battery where you put it on, you hook the two boys on. That's it. But you want her, when you hook her on, she'll keep running and running and running. Next thing, the smoke comes out. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Now, you need the fuel gun in as well. She needs to be piped into the right tank. But if she's piped the right fuel, and you have the right spark and the battery charged, amen. And we certainly want charged, strengthened. Praise God. Now, edifying, charged, strengthened. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. So, I know there's a lot of smart fellas, and they say, there you are. That boy's just praying in tongues, and I don't know anything he's saying. And what's the point of that? Because the Bible says his spirit prayeth. Now I'll tell you what, you could have somebody with no education, but that's something when your spirit can pray. Isn't it? It's not something that the Holy Spirit can give you a gift that you can pray by your spirit. Not just we are not the natural man, but the spirit prayeth. That's what Paul says here. But my understanding is unfruitful. So the fellow sitting around won't know, but the man's praying for the spirit. What is it then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. So Paul's saying, pray in the tongues and pray with understanding as well. Do both. I will sing with the Spirit. That's a long time for you've heard singing in tongues. Singing in tongues. Now I'd have to go back a long time myself. And I know, I'm sure, Brother John there's seen it. People singing in tongues. And I know the Pentecostals years ago, they got inspired. And they would sing in tongues. Then they'd sing the interpretation of the tongues that they sung then. And I'll tell you, I remember hearing a preacher years and years ago, and he says, I'm going to sing you my sermon tonight. And when he got finished singing, people got out of wheelchairs and they were healed. The power of God fell. God inhabits the praises of his people. But how good is it if we're praying in the Spirit, and then we're praying, we're understanding, we're doing both. Our Spirit's praying, and then we're praying what we understand, but we don't maybe understand everything and ask God gives us interpretation when praying in tongues. There's a faith element to it. You're doing it in faith, aren't you? You're praying. And I will pray with understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Paul is clearly showing that we should pray in unknown tongues, and he tells us when we do, we're praying in the Spirit. Amen. So somebody says, I don't know whether that's the Holy Spirit or not. But the Bible says you're praying in unknown tongues. You're praying in the Spirit. Now I'm not talking about false. I've no interest in getting involved talking about the false. They'll take care of themselves. We're wanting the real thing. We're talking about the real thing. Let's not worry about the false. I'll tell you what, we're sowing with a real seed here. We're sowing the Word of God. And it'll produce its own self. Because it's a genuine seed. Amen. And the real Holy Spirit will make you pray with real tongues. Praise God. Paul is not saying the Holy Spirit prays, but he says, my spirit prayeth. It's Paul's spirit praying to God. Now, I know and believe absolutely genuine gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're miraculous from God. And the guy that tells us, the speaking and all that, comes to a man, and it's an act of the will and the Spirit of God, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit that does it. And we need the Holy Spirit. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32, and the spirit of prophets are subject to the prophets. So the idea of it forcing you and you can't control it, I don't believe that. Because this verse says that spirits of prophets. Now, here's an interesting thing. Here in Corinthians says the spirits of the... Does your Bible say prophets? My Bible says prophets. How many knows us more than one? But a lot of people would have us believe there's been one prophet in the 20th century, and that's it. Well, I believe God did send a prophet in the 20th century. I believe that with all my heart, but I believe there's other prophets. Absolutely. There's prophets in the Bible. There's a fivefold ministry, and one of them's prophets. Another one's apostles. And we can't say, well, we believe in the evangelists and all this. Now, I know that around certain things in the moment, there's a son of the son of God's prophet that did come. We believe that God did send a prophet. But his son believes it's all in the one man. Now, bless your heart tonight as God retired himself. Let's be honest about this now. If it's in one man, and that one man went on to be with the Lord, and the Lord's retired himself. I don't believe that. And I'm not being irreverent when I say that. God is still real tonight. Now, no matter how mightily any man of God was used, that man of God, if he's went on to be with the Lord, is no use to me and you tonight. In the sense, we can't go and get him. We have to have the Holy Spirit ourselves. And God's no respecter of persons. God can give you the tongues. God can give you the Holy Spirit. And you can get charged. So you can have the full battery pack. Full to the top. And I tell you, when you put the leech on, it'll do something. I'll guarantee it works. When you get the real power of the Holy Spirit and you put your hands on somebody, I can tell you something can happen. And I believe it. I believe it. Absolutely. It's real. So let's look at verse 18 and 19 of 1 Corinthians 14. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all yet in the church. I'd rather speak five words of my understanding than that my voice that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now here we find he spoke with tongues a great deal in private, but he points out how it's to be done in the church. We know that. We understand that. When a message is given out in the public service, we must have an interpretation. We believe that. And if it's openly done out and you have an interpretation, that's the same as prophecy. That's what Paul says. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 27, 28. And if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three, at the most it says. Now, there's no problem with that today. Sure there's not. Have you ever went to any places on you more than three people? I'll tell you what, I haven't. Not for a long time have I seen any problem with that. But this is what I'm telling you. It's Paul's day. They were operating these gifts. Amen. Now, Paul didn't say, I have to set this thing in order so we'll do away with it. Paul never said that. Paul tells them how to do it orderly, but he doesn't tell them to do away with it. He just sets it how it's to be done, but he encourages them to keep on doing it. Is that the truth? He doesn't do away with it. See, the idea of doing away with it, I don't know who came up with the idea, but let's remember now, William Branham said when he was beyond the curtain of time, he said, I preached exactly what Paul preached. He said, for Paul baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I did the same. And we know, Paul said he baptized nobody. He thanked the Lord to baptize nobody. Paul says that in another place. But you know how Peter baptized, Acts 2:38. That's how William Branham did it. And the doctrines that Paul taught, William Branham taught. So he would not ever come to teach us a different doctrine. Now there might be fellows that claim they believe it, that teach a different doctrine, but don't you worry about that. Because you see, Jesus says, if you'd have known Moses, you'd have knew me. They were quoting Moses and they didn't know the Lord. But the Lord said, if you knew Moses' message, you're quoting it, but if you knew it, you'd have knew me, for he spoke of my day. And I tell you, God did send a true prophet. We believe his message, absolutely. But we know it points us back to Paul's message. That's the original apostolic message, the first messenger, and Peter's message, the first church is the apostolic message. The spirit of Elijah is not to start a whole new thing. The spirit of Elijah is a spirit of restoration. That's to bring us back. It's like that Valentine in the tractors. That boy, he got, now you fellas will know the numbers more than me, he got 1150 Massey. She's about 150 horsepower. Perkins engine in her place. Perkins engine, as far as I know, is a real good engine, isn't it? And you boys know more about it than me, but Perkins engine. But this boy got her home and she had very little run with her. The boys that had her thought she had a big problem, but she didn't have. She had no problem. But they thought she had. But he was too smart for that. In the sense he knew what it was, he had another one the same. They thought she was leaking oil somewhere, but she wasn't. Those two wee screws was never put in her. And he put them in her and it cured her. But he restored her. Now, because she was a Massey, he didn't do the frame of her blue. That would have been a Ford. He done her grey. And he didn't do the bottom of her blue. He done her red. She's not red. Keep her in the shed. It's not what they say. T-shirts. Or blue she won't do. Is that it? And nothing pours like a deer. John Deere. But he restored her all back. That Massey. And she was some age, like she was 1982 or something like that. But he had done her all back and she looked like brand new. Brand new. And the original rims and all, everything on her like that. And the Perkins engine there in her going, boy, she was running lovely. And he was giving her the flat when the black smoke was coming out of her, boy, she was great. And he restored her back. And the spirit of Elijah restores us back. So there is no way, scripturally, that we can ever make a claim that we believe we are restored back if we don't believe in speaking in tongues. And there is no way, scripturally, that we can claim we are restored back if we don't believe we're Pentecostal. What are we then, if we're not Pentecostal? Well, we have another name now, but where is it in the Bible? They were called Pentecostals because of the Pentecostal experience. And they were actually called Christians because they were followers of Jesus Christ. Christians, Christ was in them. That's what Christian means. Christ's in you. Christians. Thank God for it. Now let's look at another thought here in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. So I want you to get the first thing that I've said. You edify yourself when you're praying in tongues. And then here's another thing. You're not talking to man. You're talking to God. And I tell you, it's important to talk to God, isn't it? And you're praying mysteries, speaking mysteries. Not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit the Spirit speaketh mysteries. Now there's people talk about mysteries. But here it says a man praying in tongues by the Spirit of God speaking mysteries. Now what about that? You never hear that mentioned much, you know. But the Bible mentions it. Isn't that the truth? I tell you, it's a real blessing from the Lord. Some translations say this, divine secrets. Divine secrets. Now think of this for a moment. Hold that thought for a moment. With the tongues and the speaking mysteries. And you say, well, how could that be? Here, think of this here. Think of this scripture, and you know, it's Corinthians there, you can read it. Corinthians. Paul says, if one speaks in tongues before the unbeliever, and there's an interpretation, and it could reveal the secrets of that man or woman's heart, God will fall down and say, the Lord's in you of a truth. It's not the Bible. So God could show secrets. And it'll come through tongues, what somebody's doing, that can speak to them.
when it's interpreted
on the fall down and come to the Lord. That's how it's meant to operate. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And you think, you see, the conception as well, that knowing something about somebody, that was done once and it can never be done again, that's not scriptural. That is unscriptural. God can show you or me whatever he wants. God can do it. God can show you in a dream or through the gifts something. If it's going to edify or touch somebody or bless them or move them, God can do it. And it's wrong to say it can't be done again. Because if we say it can't be done again, we're saying it, God's changed. God's not changed. It's unscriptural to say that. Because I would say God's changed. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You remember, if God ever did one thing once, he can do it again. And I'll tell you, you know the gift, William Branham had a powerful gift. But what about when the angel of the Lord came to him? And he says, William Branham, you will not go to Switzerland, for they'll shoot you if you go. But Paul Cain will go in your place. And Paul Cain was a very young man. Very, very young man. And Paul Cain will operate the same gift you operate when he goes.
Now, let me just for a moment, and don't you worry about what Paul Cain did this or that. You can't change the fact of what God done with him. It's happened. Paul Cain's mother was pregnant and she had cancer in both her breasts. She was dead. And the doctor told her she couldn't live. And there's two women that lived across where were Pentecostals. And they come and prayed for her that God would heal her. And when the old doctor come in, now, maybe I shouldn't say the old doctor. He was doing what he medically knew. You know, said, the Lord forgive me. Maybe I shouldn't have said it like that. But you understand what I'm saying? He was working with what he had learned. But they weren't. They were tongue-talking women. They were praying in the spirit over her. And I'll tell you, not only did God heal her, but the angel of the Lord visited her. And the angel of the Lord came to her and said that she was healed. And he said, you'll have a son and you'll call him Paul, for he'll be like Paul the apostle in the Bible. And Paul Cain went to Switzerland, place of William Branham. And before William Branham rang him, Paul Cain's mother, she contacted him and said, you're going to be asked to go to Switzerland and the Lord will use you mightily, but always stay small in your own eyes. Don't get too big of yourself. And William Branham rang him, and Paul Cain then was thinking to himself, he went out of the phone, he's thinking to himself, sure, I'll not be able to go, no money and everything. And he contacted him back and said, it's all paid for. And Paul Cain went. And I tell you, many people were healed. And he called people out. And he told them the door number on their houses where they lived. And tremendous detail he was able to give them. And Paul Cain himself, I used to have the recording of it where they interviewed him on a radio station. He said it never worked as well as it did in that trip. Because God willed it to be that way. And the boy was going to shoot William Branham if he had went. But he didn't go, Paul Cain went. Isn't God wonderful how the Lord works and how the angel visited William Branham and told him, and then everything just sitting like that. If God has given us divine supernatural means of communication with him, which is not of the mind, but of the spirit, surely it is not something extra in his word, which is not there for a purpose, it's there for a reason. Now, this is my own thought. I'm sitting, doing down notes and going over scriptures, and I'm thinking of this here. Now, there's a group of people, I won't name them, but you'll be able to guess straight away who they are. They're politicians. What's the one thing they're looking in this country? They're looking at the Irish language. They're looking at the Irish. United Ireland, that's three, brother. But they're looking at the Irish language. Nobody's interested in it.
But do you know why it was first formed, that language? So that they could plot stuff against their Protestant neighbors in another language, and the Protestant neighbors wouldn't know what they're talking about. Now, in the early times, you know, a lot of Protestant people learned it anyhow. They knew it. And they learned it. And that's how they did it. And you know, if somebody's, do you ever hear somebody saying, if somebody's talking and they're not talking in English and they can talk English and they don't talk English, they say it's ignorant. You know what I mean? It's cheeky to do it because you're more or less you could be saying anything. And I know firsthand all about that, where people can give you a real good writing up. Your pedigree, if you like. But isn't it something else when God lets you hear it all in English? And they never speak one word in English. It's all in another language, but you hear it all in English. And you're thinking to yourself, how can this happen? And you can't understand it your own self, but it's God. Now, there was a man years ago, and I won't mention his name, but my dad was at the meeting. And he challenged people in tongues. He challenged people in tongues. And he said, if somebody could come up and do the tongues and do the interpretation, he says, I believe it. He's only mocking. But do you think of how easy it would have been to deceive that man? I could have went up and said, Mosito says Nazanarjit. Now I know you don't know anything what I said there. But I said there in Czechoslovakia, and you must be born again. But that's not tongues what the Bible's talking about. That's a different, I know it's a language. Understand what I'm saying? This tongues I'm talking about tonight, supernatural thing. But you're praying in it. And people have an idea that it has to be a certain language, but there's a heavenly language. There's tongues of men and there's tongues of angels. There's different tongues. When you think of it, isn't that the truth? Hear what they did here with the languages. And you remember God even came down the Tower of Babel and confused them and gave them different languages to confuse them. Amen. Now here's the I'm going to close this here. I believe also speaking in tongues helps us always to be conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe when it's real, genuine tongues, there's the presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. And you can sense the presence of the Lord when there's genuine gifts of God working and moving. And that's wonderful, isn't it? And we all want that. We want the presence of the Holy Spirit. And a thing that can help us as believers, you know, to make us more conscious of the Holy Spirit, we need it. We want it. And the Bible says the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. We want His presence. And you know, it'll affect our lives for the good, the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we pray in tongues, you know, we are also, it's a faith element to it as well. We know that because we're trusting God and we speak the words. We're praying in the Spirit. Now, let me read you two scriptures and then I'm going to close. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. That's what we want, don't we? We want a conversation in heaven. Amen. From whence also he looked for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. While we're here on earth, we're here for a very short time. When you think of your age, no matter how long you would live naturally, if the Lord doesn't come, it's a short time. You know, when Brother Ron came over here years ago, and then Brother Brian came over, and John Noble and all, when I look back on it now, I was a young fella. And I used to think, here, boy, them boys are, like them boys are middle-aged, like, you know what I mean? Them boys are creeping on a bit. But see now, I'm older than they were then. I'm a lot older than they were then. And I tell you, time goes. And you don't think 50's too bad when you're over it. But when you're 20, you think by 50, good, it's 50 years of age. Boy, he's getting on, isn't it? But once you're over 50, you think to yourself, 50's all right. I wouldn't mind going back to 50 now myself. That'll be 57 in a month. 57 years of age. And you think my oldest brother will soon be 60. 60 years of age and still not serving the Lord. And that's why the Bible says we need to seek the Lord when we're young. And you think of many people and they get into old age and they never seek the Lord. And they get into a habit of routine and they never seek God. May the Lord help us. Ephesians 2 and 6. And they've raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I tell you, I want to encourage us. What encourages? Pray in tongues if you do. Pray in tongues and don't worry about in private as well. Pray in tongues. Get in the Spirit of God. Pray and get in the Spirit. And we need the gifts. We want to encourage the gifts. We thank the Lord for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I tell you, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing when tradition of man has put the Holy Spirit out of their meetings. But tradition, doctrinal, what they think is the truth, but it's actually a tradition. It's not a truth, it's false teaching. The truth will never remove the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? The Holy Spirit is the author of the truth. That's what brings us to truth. When we have the genuine Holy Spirit, we will recognize the truth. That's how we know we have it, isn't it? When we recognize the truth, there you have the Holy Spirit there. And we want the truth. We believe in tongues and we want tongues. They'll edify you. Your spirit will pray in mysteries. And I tell you, you'll sense the presence of the Holy Spirit more in your life when you pray more in tongues. I believe that with all my heart. Let's come and pray tonight and praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this evening for the Word of God. We know that your Word is the truth. Lord, I pray that you'll help every one of us to pray in the Spirit, to sing even in the Spirit. Lord, we need your inspiration. Help us, O God, I pray. And Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, inspire us from your Word. Help us not to be afraid of these things that's in the Bible. That's for us today, that we want, Lord, we desire, we covet earnestly the best gifts. And we know that tongues is one of your gifts. And we thank you for the gift of tongues. And we thank you for the interpretation, the gift of interpretation of tongues. How that, Lord, that it's your knowledge that can be imparted to a human being where a language they've never learned and they can just speak it out. Absolutely punctuated perfectly by the unction of the Holy Spirit and interpreted perfectly by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this power, for this edification that you will charge us, renew us. Oh God, let the Holy Spirit presence be on us and be with us. Come in this room even tonight, Lord, and move in your people. Bless them, strengthen them, meet their every need, Lord, I pray. And Lord, for the secret prayers that's been praying for, Lord, maybe family members not saved, we claim every one of them. All of our children, all of our sons or daughters, our aunts or uncles, and even for the older people that maybe in families that's not saved, we claim every one of them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask for the blood of Jesus Christ to go over them and that token to be applied upon them. The life of the blood, the Holy Ghost coming on them, Lord. Moving them, speaking to them, bringing them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name. Help us, Lord, I pray, and move in these meetings, Lord. Lord, we need you here. Lord, there's no point. We're not too concerned about other places, what's happening, because we pray you'll bless every word for the truth is preached. But, Lord, we need you here, Lord. We want you to move and bless and touch your people and strengthen them, minister to the sick, and the afflicted. May every one of them be healed and be well. And may the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as one of the brothers prayed last week, Lord, that we would have that lottering coming on us, ripening us. Oh God, as it were, the end of the harvest, the finishing rain that would bring the finishing product, Lord, into that place, Lord Jesus. And you said you'd do a quick work. Grant, Lord, that you'll give us the former rain and the latter rain coming on us, pouring over us, refreshing us, renewing us in the Holy Spirit, blessing your people, coming amongst us, coming upon us, in your power, in your love, with your authority. Oh God, fill us tonight. Fill every one of us afresh with the Holy Spirit. For the young people in our fellowship, Lord, give them a real experience of the real genuine tongues and Holy Ghost baptism. Lord, that they'll get a real touch from heaven. Lord, that they'll never be the same again. But make them, Lord, that they'll be like those in the book of Acts. Lord, that they'll be on fire for you, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, touch those tonight that need a touch in their body. And Lord, for those that even have spoke with today that's maybe been injured or anything, may you heal them, deliver them. And Father, just have your way amongst us as we acknowledge you in all our ways. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord this evening. Praise God.